Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Warning, the following is the officially sanctioned podcast
about the show about four lifelong friends
who compete to embarrass each other in public.
You know the one.
The official Impractical Jokers podcast.
Yeah! Here we go. Back again. Season 8, Episode 2. My name is Casey Jost. Welcome to the official Impractical Jokers podcast. I have with me...
James McCarthy.
Hey, James.
Hey, Casey.
And of course...
Danny Green?
Turnt.
Oh, Turnt Danny Green. Turnt Danny
Green. You were unleashed last season.
I'm Turnt this year.
This year, you're Turnt. T-U-R-N-T. Very excited.
Okay.
We're here at the offices of North South Productions, and this is sort of our first ever videoed podcast.
Right.
That's right.
Filmed.
Right.
But you don't see film anymore, really.
Video.
Digitized video.
Right. Not taped.
I'm glad that we're filming today because, Danny, you walked in, you sat right here. You brought us all coffees, which was nice.
Very nice.
You got yourself a muffin, and look at this. I'm glad we could get a close-up right here. Look at the damage that Danny Green has done. If you're watching live, you could see he's put crumbs.
It's not live.
If you're watching it on video, you could see all the crumbs that Danny left on the comedy producer's desk. Thanks, Danny. Yeah.
Casey, I had a saying where I grew up on Long Island. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
That's your saying. That's Danny Green's saying. By the way, if anybody uses that.
You're claiming that as a Long Island saying?
It's a big Long Island saying.
Oh, they got Belmont out there.
Yeah. I've always said, forget about it. Well, this is great. Why don't we jump into the episode? Because
Please. This
season is starting out so great.
I love it.
This first bit killed me.
So good.
Computer Tutor is like, I mean, it's a thing that... Whenever the Jokers get like one-on-one in a close setting, it's so rich.
Yes.
And Sal's turn to me is one of my favorite Sal turns of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how to create a new slide?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't wait to sell houses to rich assholes.
There you go. Okay.
I can't wait to sell houses to rich assholes.
He's gonna take their money.
I know.
White motherfuckers.
he's white motherfuckers.
It was great.
I loved it.
Mr. Juan.
He was
fantastic.
Perfect, Mark. I mean, the combination. And Sal sets it off so good with just that, like, just tell me what's the difference between email and PowerPoint.
Okay. And Mr. Juan?
Yes.
What is the difference between, let's say, PowerPoint and email?
and the face he gives after that. He's so sweet. And then Mr. Juan matches his sweetness. He's like one of the greatest guys.
I definitely, of all those tutors, I would want Mr. Juan, correct?
Yes. Case, I wasn't on set that day. Whose computer was Sal writing all over?
So it was, I think it was either Imbrugio's.
Yeah.
Or Zaluga's.
I know, because we requested for this season a production laptop. Normally they use one of our laptops.
Mm-hmm.
It's normally mine, which is like, if you're watching the podcast, you can see I have a blacked out Apple logo because they make me cover it, which I then covered with another logo so they would stop using my computer. And we asked for a new one. They didn't get it. So they had to use one of the other producers' computers. Mm. But he wrote on it and then he hocked maybe the nastiest loogie I've ever seen.
I know.
On TV.
And when you say loogie, you don't mean John Zaluga, his nickname Loogie.
Oh, no, not of course. No, not our loogie.
So you know, what's funny is before that bit, we were talking about which laptop was going to be used, and I have an old laptop. And if you know me, you know I love a good Scambone.
You do.
So I went on the Scambone production and be like, "Hey, I have an old laptop. If you want to buy it off me." Meanwhile, I haven't used it in like years, and I'm trying to get like $200 from production, my own production, like our own show,
right?
And I'm like trying to get like $200 for this bad computer. They were like, "No, we're good. We have our own."
You know who had the best Scambone on that?
Who?
My grandma.
Tell me about this.
Well, so if you watch the bit, Murray's turn, he's talking about his grandma. That's actually my grandma, Maria Ciardulla.
Wow.
Shout out to someone who definitely does not listen to a podcast.
No?
Doesn't know what podcasts are. And I thought about this basically when I asked her about... So my grandma knows I work. That's it. She knows I work. she knows I could do some comedy. She's been to like our shows at UCB before.
Yeah.
And she's seen it, but like... And she's seen the show. She's seen us on it. But, like, she doesn't really understand, like, what we do. And, like, she's with it. It's not like...
Yeah.
She's just, like... She's from Calabria. I think originally, like, when I said I worked in TV, she thought I repaired televisions.
Yeah.
but then it's like, no, like, I help, like, make the shows.
It's amazing. You're describing her. I'm just picturing Grandma Deadpool from episode 1 of this season.
It's pretty close, yeah.
It's pretty close. I love your grandma.
Yeah, no, she's the best, but, like... I was telling her, I was like, we used your picture on the show, and now I needed to get her signature, which I actually forged many times as a kid on homework.
You did?
Actually, no, my sister did, because she had a better, she could do my grandma's name perfectly. So I'm like,
wow.
Yeah, but I asked for her signature, because I'm like, you're actually on the episode. And she thought it was fine. She wasn't like that excited, but she knew she was on TV, so she asked for a little money.
Really?
100%.
Wow.
So she was like, let me get some money for that. So I went back to production. I was like, my grandma wants money to sign.
Scamboni.
Exactly. So they gave it to her.
Good. I'm glad.
Yep,
I'm good.
They gave grandma some money, which is great because she gives me money every time I see her.
Yeah, $5.
I don't know where she gets it from.
I'm assuming.
So now I could finally pay her back via production.
When you get a gift horse from your grandma,
yes.
What is the price? How much money does she give you? Or like,
well,
you know.
My grandparents are dead, but when they were alive.
So zero, you're saying?
Well, now they do. But when they were alive, $5.
Yeah.
$20, like on maybe my 20th birthday.
A classic Grandma Jost gift is a $5 check. So like,
really?
you for sure. You got to work for it. Like she's like, go to the bank and check this and then give this check in and get your $5. Yeah, no. That was a classic.
I love that.
Me too.
My grandma, I'm pretty sure she was in the mob or something.
Yeah.
She lived a full life. She still throws in 20s. She hasn't worked in a while, but she worked all the way through like her entire life through her 60s. She was
just
like
whacking people, huh?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's killed people and she'll just smile about it.
All the stereotypes?
It's no big deal. Yeah, she's a big time Italian stereotype.
So your grandma is important to that bit, but maybe not the crew member of the week?
No, even though she got paid, she's not a crew member.
Right.
But that crew member that got her paid will be MVP.
Oh, okay.
So we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that later. But
in a little bit.
I want to say this. I did love Mr. Juan. And yeah. Mr. Juan is in the running for the mark of the episode.
Oh, mm-hmm. Of the episode.
Yeah. Right. So the person they work with, the mark of the episode.
Yes.
But for the season, there's no way that he's beating Grandma Deadpool. But let's see.
Yes.
I'm waiting for somebody to beat Grandma Deadpool.
Yeah.
If you don't know what that is, you got to watch episode 1. Grandma Deadpool is going to be a new cast member.
Okay, push this right here.
No, because this is going to make it more believable.
Oh, believable. Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's getting into character.
We got to get her.
She's great. Yeah, I mean, Mr. Juan, you are the mark of the episode. Mm-hmm. Again, put on the fancy music, Dan Semitovich, our producer. Congratulations, Mr. Juan.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, Grandma Deadpool wins.
Yeah, overall. But the guy who ran out, who like left Murr, who like took his jacket and was like, where's the bathroom? And just bounced.
How do I get the fuck out of here?
It's down that hole right
there. He's taking
his
coat. Yeah. He's taking his coat.
And you will never see him again.
That's never happened. Has that ever happened?
Wait. Okay.
Oh, no. Pierre.
Okay.
For those listening at home, we have a special guest our podcast.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Pierre the Mime.
So you might kick this off, Casey, by saying, I think this is a terrible idea.
I think it's
to have a mime who, by his nature, does not speak on a podcast, which is an audio platform.
Yeah.
But Danny Green wanted to do it, and he produces this. And so if you heard someone lightly tap on the microphone, that was Pierre Lamont. If you're watching this, which you're not, because again, this is a podcast, even though there's a visual component, I don't think anyone's watching.
If you thought we were insufferable, wait till you hear our mime, or you don't, and you just hear a bunch of noises around the room.
And I don't want to be rude, because I, first of all, Pierre, welcome. If you hear him using a hand weight, I don't know what you call that, like a grip strengthener.
Yeah.
That's Pierre. That's, I guess, how he's communicating. Maybe we can get Morse code from him. But Pierre's a great guy, really funny. Q had to be handcuffed to him for 24 hours, mm-hmm. and you had to be handcuffed to Q for 24 hours. So a bit of a punishment for you as well.
I got to say, Pierre, you know, I'm a big fan of your work, but the thing that he did recently that I really love is he there's the Staten Island Museum, which has the Joker's Museum.
Yes.
And Pierre organized, I don't even know how he did that. I guess he could type. He organized a ton of fans, like 80 Impractical Jokers fans went with Pierre to the museum. He brought a ton of people. They're honoring him, but he's going to be hosting a silent auction the Staten Island Museum. How perfect is that for
And also by the time this podcast airs, he would have already hosted that silent auction.
Is that true? Okay, well,
and
there.
But congratulations on hosting it, Pierre. I hope it goes well, and you did a great job. Thank you.
And for those who hear about this, want to visit the Staten Island Museum, too bad, because it closed down at the end of March.
So okay. The Hubble Museum is still open, but the Joker's exhibit.
There's no reason to go there anymore. No, they have a great exhibit on seeds that's going to start in April.
All right, so Pierre is already looking around the room. I think Pierre's motivation is chaos. I just want to say.
He's unrolling paper towels.
Yeah.
I will also say, Danny, Pierre's not in this episode. He's not in 802.
No, he got cut out.
Danny got Pierre.
He was not cut out, Danny. I know for a fact he was not in this bit. Yes, hi. He hit me with a paper towel.
I wonder how Pierre feels about Vanilla Clown.
He
looks angry. Vanilla Clown is maybe stealing a little bit. It's the loud version of Pierre in a few ways.
It's his alter ego in some ways, yeah.
You know,
they got a great actor to play Vanilla Clown. Do you know who it was? Yeah. Me, Danny I'm pointing Green. At myself.
Danny Green. Oh, Pierre wants to fight.
Pierre wants to fight now.
No, he's in a 1920s boxer's mode. Yeah. Now he wants to hug.
They're friends.
Wow.
Well, anyway, back to the episode, because we should go on as business as usual.
Yes, business as usual.
Yeah, we have a mime here.
Casey James, I know it's a little difficult, but just pretend that Pierre is not here, okay?
Okay.
While he eats his banana.
I love that Pierre's opening a banana in the way that you do in a cartoon, which is unsheathing the entire banana and eating it.
Okay. Now he's hiding his banana.
All right.
Casey, I want to bring up something.
Yes.
For Tutor, so you said, like, again, the guys were all doing computer tutors. Uh-huh. We actually pitched different subjects. Originally, there was Joe wanted to do Photoshop. Murr was going to teach learn American history. Q was going to learn gender studies. And then Sal didn't know what he wanted to do. One of the topics he wanted to do was football coaching. He wanted to pretend to be a Pop Warner football coach.
Wow.
That was getting schooled by another coach and learning the X's and O's of football. Those are just rejected topics for this bit.
Yeah.
But they all narrowed it down to all learning, I guess, PowerPoint, which is something that we have to do all the time with
the guys.
When we do our different PowerPoint bits. We have a couple coming up later this season. Mm-hmm. Danny Green is cackling.
Pierre is feigning boredom. Obviously, this is a terrifically exciting
conversation about
Danny,
PowerPoint.
Danny, you just stay committed to the podcast. You can't. It only works if we're all on board.
Right before this, Danny Green goes, oh, remember, it's an audio medium, so make sure to explain everything that's happening.
Pierre knows what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Well, again, not everything's going to be funny here. This is an informative podcast as well, so that's for the fans.
Yeah.
That's some more information. You know, he's using a paper towel that he put on me as a hand towel.
I like, you're in an entire world right now. This is like the way you
look. This is, when you thought a podcast was three white guys, couldn't get more problematic. Bring on a man in white face.
The white face.
Problematic.
During this turn, Joe basically has another language that he speaks through, some sort of alien language.
Department of Justice.
So good. No one loved that more than Q. Q was like, this is so great. This is like, let me keep going into this, sending voice messages back and forth.
I love it when Gatto cracks himself up too. It he's dying laughing when he gets so close to that computer.
I know. That's. I mean, this bit we need to do again. I just think like if we could do a redo of anything, this is the one.
Oh, and of course.
Oh, and also Pierre the Mime. Yeah.
Oh, and Pierre the Mime. Well, we don't redo punishments, Pierre. I don't even know if Pierre's watched the show ever. I know he's been on the show, but I don't know if he's watched it. If he did, you know, we don't redo punishments, Pierre.
Yeah.
Of course, maybe we can get him back in a challenge. And now he's happy. He's massaging me.
He's
and now I've nice warmed to Pierre, and I love him on the podcast.
I wonder if Pierre likes the Joker's fans or the Kardashian fans more, because I think he's been involved in both productions. He can't say. He can't say anything.
Yeah. So
he says he loves us.
Okay, good.
Oh, man, I had something very important and informative to say, and now I forgot it.
No, Pierre. Oh, I wonder why you're distracted.
I don't know why I got distracted, and I think everyone that's listening to the podcast is now tuned out, switched it over
I think
we're getting Carbonaro a lot. Podcast.
No, I think we're getting a lot more fans. There are a lot of fans of the brilliance and artistry of mime, right?
Yeah.
And so they're going to be listening in.
We're going to get replaced on this podcast.
Oh, that's a great idea. An all mime podcast. I like that.
Well, I know you think it's great, Danny. Pierre's excited. So Merz Tudor, he did leave. He went, but he didn't go to the bathroom. He was leaving.
Yeah.
And then our production caught him and said, or stopped him from leaving. I was like, hey, I was just a bit. So then he went back and talked to Mer.
I feel like he was running to the police.
Yeah, but he went back and like talked to Mer, and he was like, that was crazy. He's like, you were saying you were popping. Like asking about pills. Mm-hmm.
This stuff takes a lot of focus.
It can be tedious, but once you get it going.
You've had Adderall?
I do not.
No, okay.
I do not.
Then you started. What else is he doing in that turn? Casey,
addictive.
I just want to
describe what's going on. Pierre is taking every pen in the producer's room, taking the cap off, and throwing the pen and the cap over his shoulders.
And
now Casey's doing it too.
I'm debating like what
thank you, Pierre.
What Pierre is thinking as now he James goes. Too. Like, is he checking out to make sure that it works? Like, he's making sure every pen works, huh? Am I right? Okay. He just likes chaos. He wants to see the world burn. All right, let's move on to Sneaker.
Sneaker.
This is great. This is another kind of challenge where all four Jokers get to play, which we don't do that often. It's usually a don't break kind of don't laugh kind of situation.
Right.
And then this one's fun because there's a challenge within it.
Yes.
And the challenge is to steal a shoe and not get caught with it. It's basically a classic hot potato.
Yes, hot stiletto, as Sal called it in the
hot
intro.
Hot stiletto, yeah.
Which is my contribution to this episode.
that's a kid's classic game, hot potato, but doing it with and not trying to get caught.
And it's always fun having all four guys on the floor at the same time. This is like, since we've done Laugh Man Standing, where all four of them are trying to make each other laugh in the room, we've tried to think of other ways to get them on the floor, and the guys came up with this one.
Right.
And then Q, first one out. And hot stiletto. Danny, you have to contribute to the podcast. You can't just giggle at Pierre.
He's got a cable now, and he's putting it in his mouth.
He's getting
and he seems to have just been electrocuted.
It's amazing how even when electrocuted, there's no sound.
Yeah. Not a bzzz, like a hand. Oh, that's more Bambo.
Oh,
okay,
yeah. Now he's better.
Casey unplugged him.
Casey saved the song.
Danny, you could have fun narrating. James and I are really just going to dedicate. This is for the people who are listening.
Yes.
I'm going to just dedicate my time.
Now, Pierre's shivering almost is what it looks like. And it was freezing cold in that shoe store.
Yes.
If you saw in the intro, the guys were all wearing their coats. It was literally freezing. It was under 32 degrees
inside.
In the back. So when we film, obviously the shoe store is room temperature.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes where the BTS is, the behind the scenes, where the guys are, is down in a basement or in another room that doesn't have a heater. And so it was freezing cold in there.
There's been some pretty awful conditions for some of these shoots.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember back in season one or two, they were in a dog store.
Yes.
And on their live tour, they have more information about this. But
where Murray eats a piece of poop.
Yeah.
Right.
Spoiler. But
that was like tour number one. Now they're on tour number four, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So what kind of poop is he eating now on tour number four?
I don't know. It's a bigger animal. Maybe it's Pierre's. You can't deny it. Pierre can't deny it. I think we found a loophole here, Casey.
I have a question. Do mimes fart?
He can't defend himself.
Do mimes fart? He'll never. They're tell. Silent but deadly.
Yes.
All right. There we go.
There it is.
It's like I set myself up.
Yeah.
So
Pierre's actually murdered somebody.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if you know
A little person.
The authorities want to take him in. Wow. I saw him do it earlier.
A mime.
We'll take him away.
But yeah, that store, the dog store. I don't know what you call it.
I don't think it's called. Yeah,
it's probably a pet store.
Yeah.
Pet store.
Puppy mill, I believe.
Yeah. Looking back. But that basement was filthy. It was disgusting. Yeah. And we had to run cables through like mold, you know, and like just gross dog poop everywhere. And it's just, it smelled bad. That's like an all-time bad one. We've had a lot, like, you know, grocery stores are fun because you get to be in these weird sections.
Pierre has now found a cough drop wrapper.
I think he's pretending to make the sound of fire.
And it's actually
crackling,
He's now warming his hands on it.
What have you done, Danny? What have you done?
We're trying new things.
Yes.
I think it works. I think it works.
What are some other bad stores that we've been in or BTS?
Well, not a store, but one of the worst places we ever were was that horse farm.
Oh, yeah.
Because it smelled terrible. It smelled really, really bad.
This
not horse
south,
farm. I'm sorry. Cow farm.
Cow
it's like dairy farm. Smelled bad. It was hot out that day. And so also not only like did we film there, but then I had to have a meeting with the guys where we're pitching all the new ideas that we came up with in the producer's room.
Ooh, that's
and
bad.
So trying to pitch ideas while there's a cow being born next to you, it smells like shit and it's really hot out and you're trying to hold people's attention. You're like, okay, well, this bit's going to be funny.
Yeah.
What if you guys have to, I don't know, pretend that you own an amusement park. And they're like, yeah, whatever. Like they're all falling asleep.
Also, we had to be on edge of like when that cow was going to deliver. So like it was, it was just like waiting until it was like,
yeah, we had a spotter. We had somebody watching.
Yeah.
The cow's privates.
Can induce a cow?
I don't know. Danny, you tell me. You grew up in Long Island.
Yeah, I grew up. No, they can induce a cow.
You know, you're looking gift horses in the mouth.
Cows right at the butt.
No, it's all natural. Cows, cow's birth, yeah.
Cool. Great.
See, I contributed.
I'm trying to, I'm trying to think of other conditions that were pretty bad. Most of the time, they're decent. And now our locations people know to look for spots that have like ample room and that aren't crazy. Most of the time, the guys complain that it's hot just because there's so many bodies that get into this room.
Right.
And then it just, it gets really warm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I have no problem. It's hard for me to be distracted in this situation right now. So, you know, no
we'll
condition.
We'll get Pierre back. You can't tell, but Pierre's crowding Casey now. He's wearing headphones. But we can get, listen, this is a podcast, Casey. This is our forum. We can get Pierre back at any point. We could say Pierre's taking out a dime bag of marijuana. He seems to be rolling it. He's smoking it. Oh, he's offering it to me. Okay, yes, and. This is what happens in the producer's room once the cameras turn off, actually. And then we come up with ideas like this punishment. Let's hop in.
Oh, yeah,
about this punishment.
In. So, yeah, closing laptops is a thing that just feels so invasive. You know, Mer's the perfect person to handle this. Just like closing, if somebody closed my laptop, I'd be furious, and that's ridiculous. The fact that I'd be furious is so weird.
No, I'd be very upset if anyone closed my laptop.
Right.
Like working out in store. Pierre's looking at, I think,
he's combing Casey's hair with a headphone.
Yeah, he's combing Casey's hair.
Doesn't bother me. No. So, but if somebody closed my laptop, I'd be pretty mad.
Pierre was actually on a laptop before. He was looking at some sort of very... weird pornography. Just want to point that out. It's, I think, highly illegal. You can arrest Pierre the Mime.
If you could take him in right now.
Now he's walking around the room taking tissues out.
Taking tissues out because he's now very turned on. You can't tell, but he's walking around the room with a very small erection. This is how we get the Mime back. It's not true. Okay.
He's just taping James's mouth.
All right.
Pierre's a very curious mind.
I was lying.
I gotta say.
He's not aroused. But I can tell. Yeah.
So,
he did tape my mouth
he's
shut.
He's taking something out of his box.
I hope mine's clean up rooms after this. I don't know if they do. And everything I know seems that they don't.
Look at this.
He has a Voss water. I believe. I don't know where he got that from.
Did Pierre bring this?
Yeah, these are
these are his props.
These are his.
These are his props.
Yeah,
he's water
into a coffee cup.
Okay,
not coffee.
Well, let's bring it back to the episode. We were in a coffee shop. Sure. We're at the Bean over on St. Mark's ish, like around the 3rd Avenue in the city.
I think some people are doing this already, but there should be like an Impractical Jokers tour of New York City of like the best spots that we've hit, the iconic locations.
Oh, 100%. Somebody should do that.
Yeah, right?
Maybe Pierre should do that. You could bring people on a tour. You don't have to talk.
That's
you just point to places.
Right.
And they can assume what would have happened there. Maybe you hand out cards. I don't want to tell you how to do your job.
Because people have reached out to me and told me that they do go to some of these iconic locations. Like, they, you know, they go to Union Square where, like, the Strip High Five happened.
Yeah.
Or they'll go to, like, some of the restaurants that we've been to.
Filmed it.
Yeah.
So that makes so much sense. I mean, I know personally, like, I'm a big Seinfeld fan. I went up to Tom's Diner, Tom's Restaurant, up on, like, 112th Street.
Oh, yeah.
I've made that trip. I would definitely go to a place that the Jokers have been to if I was a big fan.
Definitely.
Which I am. I love the show. But if I was just, I mean, I'm there when we film it a lot. So, like, I've been there. I've seen it.
I got to say, one of my favorite elements of this punishment is when the new rule within the punishment that Murr had to kiss Dan Cast every time he passed. Dan Cast is... He came onto the production around season 4.
4, I think, yeah.
I mean, it seems like he's been here forever. He's just so ingrained in the production. And
a human teddy bear, Dan Cast.
Think Hugh has a crush on Dan Cast.
Oh, he has a man crush on Dan Cast for sure. And he,
he was living
also, when he had a cast, because Q hurt his hand, it was called Dan Cast Jr.
Oh, that's weird.
So that was the name of his cast. Did you know that, Pierre?
Pierre seems jealous that Pierre has a little bit of a crush on
because you guys were handcuffed together.
Yeah.
And that's slept one of your together. Big fetishes, you said. You love, and that was the pornography you were looking at. It was a handcuff porno. Oh, I will not eat your bed. Yeah.
What's funny is Q has often said that he wishes he was handcuffed to Dan Cast, which is...
yeah, he said that a lot. You know how to get to Pierre. You get under his skin. Yeah. If I had to be handcuffed to one person, it would be that Dan Cast. That's a real man. He smokes real cigarettes and real cigars and drinks real whiskey. He doesn't just mime it all the time like some sort of chump.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And he's got big facial hair that he grows.
Even though he talks, he says, even though he talks, he knows when to shut up.
Yeah. But he can talk. And not only that, he can listen actively and then respond intelligently.
And he doesn't come with me to the bathroom.
Yeah.
He said this. This is all cue quotes. So I think that what was your favorite Mark reaction to Murr closing the laptop? Two stand out for me.
You know, first of all, this is one that gets really cringeworthy. These are the ones, like, when I'm on set, I like take out my earbuds and don't look at the camera because I don't want to see it anymore. I get like too nervous. All of them get that way for me. But after that guy, the guy that he's sitting in front of, when he turns around and closes his laptop, every time he closes someone's laptop after that, to me, was the worst because he's watching them. And so I was afraid that guy was going to get up and they were going to like, two people were going to like double team her and get mad at him.
That guy went through all the emotions. I mean, he was like mad. He was like confused at first and he got mad. Then he kind of was like smiling and was like, what? Like happy.
Yeah.
And then he went back to mad.
You know?
He went through like all the stages of grief. He was like a mime face. Like he was like happy. And then he was sad.
Yeah.
And then he like kind of like liked it.
Ah.
And then he was mad. And then he was happy again. And then he was horny.
Okay.
Great.
No, not my special hat.
And then the woman who was like, I just want to know why you closed my laptop. Like, I love that.
That was a bad one. That was really, really
confrontational
bad.
One.
I'm happy she spoke up for herself. Nobody else in that punishment did. Good on you. To that lady, that was really hard to watch.
Yeah, and I gotta give Murr props.
No, Pierre found the gong.
I gotta give Murr props for closing that final laptop before he left, like on his own accord
on the way out.
Yeah,
it's a quick little
ballsy.
Hit and run.
That's some Murr. That's some Murr season 8 stuff.
Yeah,
I think we're gonna see more of that. Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? My favorite thing when he kisses that guy that wasn't a PA.
There you go. And then the new PA sitting next to him. The new PA with the beanie hat right there.
Welcome.
He doesn't work for our show.
Oh,
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's Joe Gatto 101.
Yeah,
that's, he's so good at fooling people into doing a thing that like they he makes them think it's normal.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh yeah, yeah, just kiss that new PA, not a PA. Why don't we talk about MVP of this? Let's jump right into it.
Who's the MVP of this episode?
I think it should be. Not Pierre.
Not Pierre. I'm sorry.
He wasn't
Pierre.
In the episode.
You were MVP of your episode if we're giving out MVPs. For this episode, though, you were not in the episode. You did not help out in any way on the crew. You're helping out on the podcast, potentially, either that or there might not be another episode of this podcast.
I think we should have him back every week.
Okay.
Yes. Bang the gong.
If Pierre was in the production. Like, you know, in the crew.
Yes.
What job do you think he would do?
Sound.
You think you trust him with sound?
Stapler. He's got a staple. He's got
definitely not releases.
Release PA, stapling a tissue.
I would say maybe the film.
Oh, wow. No, that.
Oh, it's out? Good.
Out of thing. Maybe one of the Jokers. I don't know. He doesn't. Seem fit for this world, but anyway,
this
podcasting world. But you know who does is our MVP of the episode, Terry Thomas. Everybody,
Terry's here.
Terry, meet Pierre the mime.
Casey,
swing around. Oh, his grip was too strong. Even though
you can talk to him.
You can please talk to us. Take this chair, Terry.
Yes.
Can you talk to him?
This is what you win for being MVP, Terry.
You always been on my mind.
Terry, please tell the fans what your job is on the show.
I am the release coordinator for Impractical Jokers. So when we prank somebody, I come up to them and say, hey, we just had a good time. Will you sign this legal document saying I can show you on television?
Great.
Yeah.
And you're apparently like, MVP at it. Like you're great at that job. Like you had a 100% ratio in this episode, correct?
Technically, you know, we have certain situations where the employees, but it's the hard marks, the ones that the guys are like, yo, we have to have this person. Yep. Those were 100% it.
Well, Joe Gatto, when you have an inside joke that is inside for the crew anyway. So yeah. I guess it's not totally inside because I know about it. But you were bragging about how you're 100% signage.
Yes.
And then recently, so 100% of the marks signed in Tudor, 100% of the marks signed in Sneakers. But not everybody in the punishment. And so Gatto wanted to get you a shirt that says what?
Percentage. It just says percentage. And I think he's going to give me like 82%.
So at the end of each shoot, you'll have the percentage shirt. And at the end of each shoot, you'll hold up a sign that says whatever your percentage is that day.
Yes.
Kind of genius.
Yeah, that's great. Great marketing. Guys,
what is your technique? Why don't we say that Pierre is the person that they just interacted with, the mark of the episode.
Right.
And so, yeah, stay with the mic. And then so what's your spiel to the mark? Okay. Go for it.
All right. Well, you don't know. I'm the executive producer of Impractical Jokers. That's the first thing you do. You lie.
You do that?